The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
That personal finance brought to you by Satrix. Invest in global funds. Invest with Satrix. Warren Ingram this evening with Galileo Capital. He's also a personal financial advisor. Lots of people struggling with income. Incomes aren't growing unless you're in the public sector. We know that there's a big standoff coming there, Warren. Even public servants may soon have to find alternative, those who haven't already found alternative sources of income, doing business with government, of course. But we're talking about a different kind of side hustle this evening. This is the side hustle that you do because you are somebody of honesty and integrity who is in a job where you may have had a salary cut. You may have not had an increase, and you may be looking at the future and thinking, I need to urgently make a plan here because, you know, my traditional work environment just isn't going to help me beat inflation.
I'm so glad you ended the introduction the way you did, because at the start I thought we were doing a different show. and so I think this kind of sparked for me. I was talking to a retrenched SAA pilot recently, and you know, I was just asking him how things were going, and we would all have our, I guess, very strong feelings and very rational feelings about SAA and what's gone on, but we often lose sight of the fact that the people that were actually working inside the airline, the pilots, the crew, the ground staff, and the like, they were just doing their jobs and doing the best that they could. And the fact that they got derailed by crooks and lousy management, we lose sight of that. And so it was interesting for me just to, get his view of what was going on. And I asked him what he was doing now. And he said, he was sitting at home as lockdown started to ease, talking to his neighbor. And his neighbor runs a small little courier business. And the neighbor was saying, he's just absolutely overloaded with demand. I guess all of us, the moment we could start shopping again, especially for alcohol, we started placing orders online, and this courier business was overloaded. And so this pilot, says, well, I've got a small little car, and I've got one thing I've got is lots of time. Can't I do this for you? There was no sort of arrogance or a sense of, I'm an international airline pilot. There's no way I'd be driving around in my little car delivering, boxes of alcohol to people. He looked for an opportunity, found it. And what was interesting was, as he started to talk about this and write about it a bit on LinkedIn, so more people were contacting him and saying, look, I'm out of work as well, or, I've won half day. Can I also get a job? And suddenly he had a business. He had a business helping people get jobs. He was still driving, but he was, placing work for this courier company and other courier companies, and they needed store clerks and they needed other people. And all of a sudden, he's got himself a little business helping people with their side hustle. And that for me was just profound. I think we always think about it, in South Africa, that the job market is incredibly scarce. And, we understand these Americans have this gig economy and, doing the school teacher who's the school teacher by day and the Uber driver on the weekends, et cetera. But the reality is we have that here, and I think that's the thing for people to understand is, if you are on half day or, you've had to take a pay cut, but you're still working full time, the other asset that you have is, you've got your ingenuity, you've got, you've got time to do things for people who possibly don't have time, but are willing to pay you. And I always think, that's the thing to think about. If you've got a stove at home and you can cook, there might be a working mom and dad, who are homeschooling still, but, potentially in these times and trying to, get through the day while they're on their screens, and would gladly pay you to do a bit of, cooking for them. And in my view, that's a valuable service to offer and a way to make some money. People who drive around and can fetch and carry, school kids while parents are stuck on screens working from home, and another one. And I always think, there's opportunity for people that can use their hands and have ability to solve a problem to be a handyman.
Absolutely. I mean, and there are lots of us who need that kind of help. A fabulous story just this week. A guy who, via the community WhatsApp group, hey, you need to get this guy because he makes great sourdough bread. And, I didn't have any time in lockdown or the aptitude or the patience, frankly, to wait for the chemical process of sourdough to happen. So we contacted this guy and he started delivering bread. And he would, do two sourdoughs a week, and occasionally we get some. He then went into sort of fancy French baking, and occasionally we'd treat ourselves to a croissant or six. And it was lovely. And he came to us last week and said, terribly sorry, but I'm not delivering bread next week. We said, why? He said, no, I've got my job back as an executive chef because things are opening up again. And I said, that's great. I mean, are you going to carry on the business or are you going to pass it on to anyone else? And he goes, no. And I find that quite sad in a way because it would have been great if he could have taken somebody on to do the baking. And I know it was a schlep job and it was to keep the wolf from the door for him, and it wasn't his ambition to be a baker. And he's very keen to get back to his executive chefing. But I kind of wish he could have gone into partnership with somebody, trained them up, and kept that hustle going and stayed a partner in that business and kept things going a bit. But that's not to be. But people get very creative. And I think job security is one of the most inhibiting factors of anybody, because when you don't have to think about it, when life is easy and the increases are coming and you've got, you know, office hours and you've got spare time, you stop thinking about earning money in other ways, and often until it's too late. And I suppose your message tonight, Warren Ingram, is that, you know what, you never know what fate is going to throw in your direction, and it's never a bad idea to have a couple of things going on at the same time and turn your, you know, Netflix leisure time into money rather.
And don't be too proud. You know, I think it's an interesting thing for me. You know, when you talk to people who are struggling financially and you say, well, have you got a car? Have you got a driver's license? You know, and have you got time? And they say, yes. And I say, well, you know, why don't you offer your services, as like the granny for hire or the grandpa for hire to help people, you know, who don't have time. And they always say, well, I that's far too menial for me. I would never do that. Or, you know, I'm not going to be someone's, you know, fetcher and carrier or whatever the deal is. And to me, that pride is just the worst thing. And the other attitude is almost just giving up. You know, the government needs to help us. You know, the government needs to do something. My view is stop waiting. You know, stop waiting for people to help you. This is the time to help yourself and, you know, make things happen. And it's not a motivational speech or, you know, I'm not trying to be the next Tony Robbins. I just think we have real examples in this country of people who
you need your teeth done if you want to be Tony Robbins. That's your first step.
What are you trying to say?
They need to be about three times the size they are. but you're absolutely right, and it's that. But why wait for things to get desperate before you go and look for the side hustle? Is my point. The side hustle should be normalized for all of us.
Absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, and I always think about, you know, about your industry. You know, your industry is well known for that. You know, it's very difficult sometimes to just have one job when you don't have job security in the media industry. And so people do, you know, they'll be a producer by day, a podcaster by night. And, you know, why is it that it's restricted to sort of only specific industries? I think we should all be thinking like that all the time. And it's amazing how that kind of breadth of vision and a different skill set could often make you better at your own job, you know, your core job, and stay on your toes, you know, make yourself marketable in so many different ways and, you know, stop waiting, just get out there and do it.
Thank you, Tony. What's his name? Warren. Warren Ingram is our resident finance guy, personal financial advisor, executive director at Galileo Capital. That is I think we're at a point where we can stop as we get to it, because we, you know, just some quick thoughts on this as well, Warren. I mean, while you're doing the side hustle and stuff, and while you're sort of recalibrating, also use it as an opportunity, if you haven't done so already, just to tidy up your stuff. You're never going to have as much time as you've got now, ever again, probably. And so the opportunity to review, I mean, I still haven't got rid of my gym contract. I don't ever want to step foot into a gym again, not just because I'm a lazy bugger, but because I hate it. And so every month that goes by, I see the debit order going off and I want to kick myself, you know, and it's that sort of admin that we really need to get to as well.
And you know, one of my friends who is not struggling financially in these times said to me, she took some of her old jewelry that she inherited and that she had early in her life, to trade it in for money. And she was absolutely surprised by how much money she was given. You know, gold price is up. You know, the jewelers are looking for stock. And she was saying, you know, that for her was just dead money sitting there that she had never thought about. So I think, you know, you're right. Clean up your debit orders. Clean up your personal finances, clean up your house, you know, look for stuff to sell now. There's a whole marketplace out there that you can use on the internet to do this stuff. Get creative.
Thank you, Warren Ingram. Let's move on to our listener question this evening. It's a fabulous question. I hope you've seen it, Warren, because we need to talk about income protection. There's a very nice question. It says, what is income protection? Because there are a whole bunch of categories of insurances that you can buy to protect yourself in the event of calamity. One of them is income protection. Let's specify precisely what that is. I think it's a good question. We'll get to that one in a moment.
The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
So what is income protection, Warren? I mean, there are lots of products one can buy to protect oneself against downside in tough economic times. One of those is income protection. Let's focus finely and keenly on that.
So it almost sounds like you're getting insurance against losing, losing your job, which is not quite quite true. So income protection is about protecting yourself if you are alive. So something happens to you, that physically prevents you from being able to earn a living anymore. You get kind of two forms of this. So you get one, which is literally if you become disabled, so you get a disability payout, or the alternative is that you get income protection. And so people often think that it's a form of, insurance against retrenchment or something, which definitely not. This is about, you get an illness, for example, that becomes debilitating and you literally cannot work anymore, or you have an accident and you're in a position where, you're quadriplegic or something like that. And so you're alive, but no life cover can pay out then, but you're still not able to work and you've got 20 or 30 years of work left and no ability to generate an income. And that's what income protection is. So you would be paying it on a monthly basis, and typically it will last for as long as your working career would be. So, if you're 45 years old and you would say, I'm planning to retire at 65, then you would be able to buy income protection for the next 20 years. It's quite an expensive form of insurance. So generally...
form of insurance. It's one of the most eye-wateringly, debilitatingly, horrendously expensive forms of insurance, Warren. Let's be clear about this. Is that an unfair statement of fact? I don't think so. It's frightening.
It is expensive, and I think it's the difficulty for me with this is that I'm not the biggest fan of insurance in general, but I do think it's the one that it's the one insurance that I'm over and above a medical aid, it's the one I pay first, and I pay the most attention to every year, because for me it's a nightmare scenario where you have an accident and you are bedridden and you cost your family money every month. But you have no ability to generate an income, and so it is an expensive insurance. But I think it's one that's neglected, and for me, it's really just it's such a difficult one. I think it sounds funny to say it, but if someone passes away, there's a trauma to everybody, and there's an expense related to the person's passing. But after that, they don't cost the family money thereafter. Whereas if you have an accident, and I'll use the 45-year-old again, as an example, you might live for another 40 years, and you have a cost every month, but no ability to do anything about it. So to me, it's a really important one for people to know about, and just to know, that let's say for example, you earn 50,000 rand a month, you can't go and get income protection for 80,000 rand a month, and be better off financially, if you do have something go wrong with you. So it's something that you can cover the income that you were earning, but certainly can't be better off. And for me, it's probably close to home, because it's something where you see these examples of people have something go wrong in their lives and they haven't got this income protection. It becomes a tragic story that unfolds over decades. And so definitely, although this is not the insurance sales pitch, something that people should focus on if they have the ability to get this cover. What I would say to mitigate your point, Bruce, is you have to shop around. This is just not something that you can, that you take the first quote that comes along and just pay.
Absolutely. But I just found, as somebody who's been through this, fortunately with the help of an angel to guide me through it, but it was just the T's and C's involved in these policies also are extraordinary, because you don't want to be spending vast amounts of money every single month paying for an insurance that when it comes down to a claim, they say, oh, well, you know, yes, you type a lot, and, you know, the loss of a finger doesn't constitute a loss of, you know, professional, whatever the case is. There are just so many T's and C's, and it really, you've got to go through the stuff with painstaking detail. Let's pause there, Warren Ingram at Galileo Capital, because I also, I've got lots of questions tonight. I want to know, and I get you to choose this part, which is our term or word or phrase of the week, and tonight it's living annuity. Another definition. I want to know what a living annuity is. We're hearing a lot about them at the moment. Let's get at definition in a second.
The Money Show.
Personal finance with Warren Ingram.
Lots of questions for you this evening. Warren, what is a living annuity?
So a living annuity is what happens to your money once you have retired it from a pension fund or a retirement annuity or a provident fund. So typically, you know, it's something that you can only access from the age of 55 onwards. And generally, let's just use a retirement annuity as an example. There are two ways to access your money from your retirement annuity once you've retired it. You can get an old-fashioned pension, which is called a compulsory annuity, and that just pays you a certain amount of income every month for the rest of your life. It might go up with inflation if you're lucky, but it's a contract, and, you know, it's not impacted by what happens on investment markets. The alternative to that is that you buy a living annuity. So what happens there is, let's say you retire with your retirement annuity, it's worth R1 million, and you decide to convert that whole amount to a living annuity. What happens then is it goes into this investment, which you own for your life. And once, if there's still money left over when you pass away, the balance of the capital will go to the beneficiaries that you've nominated in that living annuity. So that's an important difference between the old-fashioned pension and a living annuity. And the second thing is that you decide what you want to do with the investments inside that living annuity. So you're not constrained by the retirement fund regulations called Regulation 28. So you can say, well, I'd like to have, you know, 70% in shares, 30% in cash, or I'd like a different mix. And you have a lot of choice around the investments that you have within that living annuity. And then the other choice that you have is how much income you want to draw from your living annuity on a yearly basis. So by law, you have to draw a minimum of 2.5% of the value of your living annuity every year, up to a maximum of 17.5%. And you can change that on the anniversary of that living annuity. So in other words, if you start it in November every year, or if you start in November 2020, then November 2021, you'll have the option to say, well, I don't want to draw, you know, 10% from my living annuity anymore. I'd like to draw 8%. Okay. And you can make that choice once a year. Unfortunately,
the vast majority of people will see the living annuity diminish over time, and they'll be lucky if the money lasts. It's possible then in this living annuity structure to actually see your capital grow, because provided that you invest well that living annuity and you have your proportions correct and you hit the market cycle absolutely perfectly, it doesn't mean the end of capital growth over time, is my point, just very briefly.
Absolutely. And I think the big thing there is people generally, when they retire, they start drawing too much straight away. So my suggestion is, when you retire, start drawing an absolute maximum of about 5% from your living annuity. And that gives yourself the capital, the best chance to grow over the remainder of your retirement. Where we see the horror stories is people starting drawing 8 or 10% in their first year. And unfortunately, their capital will never grow. It will only ever diminish after that.
Rather get the side hustle.
Get the side hustle.
There we go. Full circle. Warren Ingram from Galileo Capital.